guys, this is Yarrow. Thanks for joining me on this recording today. This is possibly my favorite topic of all the mindset audios you're going to cover with me, and it's all about marketing and how you can get traffic to your blog using communication channels, which I introduced to you in the Blog Profits Blueprint. This is a topic dear to my heart because I've been marketing online ever since I went online. So every time I had a website, I had to find ways to build traffic to my website because it's critical. Without traffic, you don't make money. You don't have any of your content read. There's really no value in it for you if you don't have people reading and consuming what you put out to the universe. So it's a pretty crucial part of doing anything on the internet. And you know, you may not like marketing in general, and don't confuse marketing with advertising. It's usually advertising that people don't like so much, or certain types of advertising. Marketing, as I explained in the Blog Profits Blueprint, is just a means to attract attention, and it's a way you can get your valuable ideas into the hands of many more people. There's a little warning I want to give you about marketing before we progress into the nuts and bolts of this recording. It can be an addictive process, and you need to realize when you have to actually stop and take stock in what you've achieved and be happy with your results. The way people make money is very similar to the way people market, and I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I can get caught up in the idea and the process of making money, and I find it sometimes quite addictive when you do make money, and that, you know, you get those little emails telling you you've received some income, or you've been contacted by someone with a request to buy some advertising, or you make an affiliate sale, and so forth. And that process is very addictive. And you know, once you've done it one day, you want to do it again and again and again, because your body gets addicted to that rush, and I call that the sugar rush. And it's important that you have some sense of clarity when you go about your marketing process, just like you go about anything you do with making money, to take stock and stop and have awareness of what really is important, because you can get too caught up in the process of marketing, because marketing has a very similar rush to making money. And what I mean by that is, after you do some form of promotion, you can often get caught up in watching your statistics and seeing how much traffic you got as a result of that, surfing Technorati and seeing how many other blogs and websites are linking to your blog article or your content, checking your backlinks through, you know, Google backlink checkers, or you know, doing some ego surfing and seeing where your name is listed. All these things are fine for you to do. It's just important not to get too caught up in it, and you know, it's an important thing to note, because once you've done it once, you often want to go do it again. You get addicted to that sugar rush of that feeling of success after having something you've marketed actually get some traction and gather quite a lot of attention. So yes, we are in the business of marketing our blogs, and we should always be promoting what we're doing, but you also want to take a step back sometimes and realize it's not all about one marketing push after another after another after another. You need to stop and enjoy your successes when they happen. So with that proviso out of the way, let's get into the nuts and bolts about how you can market your blog. And like I talked about in the Blog Profits Blueprint, it really is all about building communication channels. And communication channels are pathways, or you know, links, or not necessarily links on the internet. These can be links in the real world, people telling people telling people, or even you know, traditional advertising where you put advertisements in newspapers or magazines or local flyers or anything that grabs someone's attention and turns it to focus on your blog. And that's what marketing is all about. So when I first started to market online, one of the things I did was actually do offline marketing. So should I say, when I first started to have a website that I wanted to get attention to, the immediate methods I had access to market my site, given the kind of people I was trying to access, was an offline method, which is actually flyers. So the first site, and this is not my blog, I haven't advertised my blog with flyers. Not that, I mean, that's probably an idea that would work for some blogs, but my first business website, I used flyers at local university campuses to promote. And I've relied on that process quite heavily in the previous years as the main method of driving traffic to my website, as an initial traffic driver. See, what happens is people find the site through a flyer, and once they're convinced of the quality or the service you're offering is something they value, they're inclined to tell other people, and that starts the network effects, as I talked about in the Blog Profits Blueprint. So it really is all about building small communication channels, tapping into network effects, which eventually lead you to larger communication channels, which then leads you to even larger communication channels, and you enjoy greater network effects, and compounding starts to occur. And all those wonderful things that I explained in quite depth in the Blog Profits Blueprint. So I hope you understand that. I know you've read the document already, and you should understand the principle of taking baby steps to access larger sources of traffic. When I began blogging, I didn't exactly have a clear conceptual understanding of what I describe with communication channels. You're just looking at ways you can grab some people coming to your site and getting some traffic, and you know, each time you get 10 new visitors, it's a big deal when you first start, especially if those 10 new visitors become regulars. So, like most people, I went and did commenting as a first technique of growing my blog traffic. I wasn't overly blown away by what commenting did for my blog, so I investigated other ways to grow my blog traffic. I found directories where I could submit my blog to, again, that provided very little results. I did trackbacks to other blogs. I tried to replicate what I noticed other bloggers were doing. I read some advice from some of the more popular blogs out there and tried to implement their techniques, but nothing really blew me away in terms of growing my blog traffic. And there's two events that really stick in my mind as the most significant traffic events I ever enjoyed. And one of them, they both illustrate two of the most important principles when it comes to growing blog traffic. I described one of them in the Blog Profits Blueprint, and that was the event when Darren Rouse linked to my blog. This is a while ago. This is about 2 years ago. So Darren's site was it's small in comparison to what it is now. It was still large in terms of a blog in general back then. I think he probably had about maybe 5,000 daily readers at that point. Now he's close to 25,000. But anyway, he had 5,000. I had maybe 500, maybe 1,000 readers at the time. And through our communications previously, I had emailed Darren and said, "Hi, yeah, I noticed you're from Melbourne. I'm from Brisbane. Just wanted to say hi, like what you're doing with your blog. I'm also blogging here, check it out." And we just communicated a couple of times, and then eventually I sat down and wrote my first ever pillar article series. And this should serve to illustrate the very close relationship between pillar articles and marketing. So what I did is I wrote a timeline of what I had done in business. So bear in mind, my blog is about internet business. So by explaining my own personal timeline of the businesses I had started throughout my life, it provided a lot of valuable content for my readers, very focused, targeted content. So I wrote a 6-page article over a period of about a week. I just spent each night, I wrote one article adding to the series. Each article was between 1,000 and 3,000 words. So by the end of it, I had a close to 10,000 word article, just totally going over everything I'd done up to that point. And it's actually a little bit old now. I need to add to it for all the things I've done recently. But if you go into my blog at entrepreneurs-journey.com, you can find my business timeline under the About page. And in fact, it's something I recommend you all do if you get a chance on your own blog, is sit down and write a timeline as it relates to the topic you're talking about. So if you're blogging about your stamp, your love for stamps, and your stamp collecting hobby, then you need to write a timeline relating to how you got into stamp collecting, the first time you got a significant stamp collection or a significant stamp, how you've gone about buying or selling stamps, and the whole process of learning what it takes to become a stamp collector. So your timeline needs to very much tap into your theme of your blog. But anyway, we're not talking about writing pillar content in this article, so in this recording. So I wrote this timeline, Darren decided to link to it, and I gained at least a double. Of course, back then I didn't have much traffic, but it added a very significant chunk of regular readers and put my blog on the map in terms of, here's another upcoming Australian blogger. A lot of those readers who were reading my blog then became regular readers and helped to market my blog by telling other people, by blogging about my blog on their blog. They said some of them contacted me, and no doubt I eventually linked to them, hence demonstrating the peer relationship and network marketing sort of effect there. And, that taught me the importance of peer relationships and having another blogger link to you. So that's In my mind, that is by far the number one most significant way of generating traffic. It's peer relationships. If you're not prepared to foster peer relationships in the blogosphere or, you know, anywhere with any people, because you need other people to link to you. People create links, so you have to know people or at least get their attention somehow before they link to you. And the best way to do that is to actually become a friend. And that's what I, you know, attempted to do with Darren, and that's what I think Darren and I are. We don't hang out on a daily basis because we live in different cities, but we do talk to each other on Skype now and then, and, you know, I've helped him out and he's helped me out. So that's an example of a peer relationship. And obviously, if you can have peer relationships with the movers and shakers in your industry, it really helps. And there's a whole technique to make maintaining relationships in the upper echelon of your industry. You don't have to. I mean, I recommend you be friends with as many people as you can, but obviously we're talking about leverage here. You want to be friends with the people who have lots of traffic, because that can help you get lots of traffic. But the point of this exercise is to develop your friendship / networking skills, not just to greedily go after the top traffic sources, because you won't get good results then. It'll be quite clear what your motivation is. So that's the first example of the peer relationship technique for developing significant traffic. The second example was a few months later on. Now, this example is not quite as relevant as it once was, because it's actually harder to replicate what I did back then. But when I did it, it was very powerful because it was reasonably new thing to do. And what happened was, I'm sure you've heard of blog networks. There's several blog networks out there. B5 Media and Weblogs Inc. are probably the most well-known blog networks. And there's also another one called 9Rules. And 9Rules is the network my blogs, as I record this, are currently in. And 9Rules is a bit different to those two other blog networks, because it's not really about making money and sharing revenue with the people who blog for the network. It's just about creating a club and a community around a bunch of bloggers who are all writing great blogs. So the criteria back then to get into the blog, into the 9Rules blog network, was just to make sure that you're writing a good blog and then to apply, and then you had to be approved. And over the years, they've had these opening rounds where you can apply to get into 9Rules. And they had lots of people applying, you know, literally thousands apply nowadays each time 9Rules opens its doors. But 2 years ago, it was much smaller, and it was a much bigger deal in a lot of ways to get into 9Rules, because there weren't so many people in it yet. It was a reasonably exclusive sort of club, yet really the only criteria of getting in was maintaining a popular blog. So I applied, and I was very quickly accepted. I think I actually applied outside of an official hiring round, but the owner, Scribs or Scribes, depends how you say it, Paul Scriven, he welcomed Entrepreneur's Journey into the network, and he did something as he did for all blogs who joined back then. He would write about the blog on the official 9Rules blog, and that 9Rules blog was quite well read. It's a very high page rank blog. The whole network is very high ranking. So I got exposure first from the blog entry he made about me joining his network. Then, of course, you get ongoing continuous exposure from the actual homepage of 9Rules, where all the blogs in the network are listed by category. Now, back then when I first joined, you know, there wasn't that many blogs in there yet, so you got a lot of traffic just from that alone happening. It's not so effective nowadays because there's just so many blogs in the network, so it's hard to stand out. But still, my point here is still valid. What then happened was you join a community, and there's a forum, and the forum still exists today. Again, I haven't been to that forum in a long time, but back then when I first joined, I entered the forum, and I met some of the members and just checked out their blogs. Best of all, though, you get to introduce yourself. So you go to the introductions forum and talk about your blog. And what happened when my blog was released, suddenly all these new bloggers within 9Rules checked out my blog, and some of them became regular readers. And what then happened, and this is the real kick in traffic, one of those readers, who can't remember the name of their blog, yes I can, it's 456 Berea Street, and I think that blog is still out there and very, very popular. It's a web design, sort of web development kind of blog, and I wrote an article explaining PageRank, and PageRank is obviously a very well-known topic. It's the part of the algorithm that makes up how Google ranks sites. A lot of people care about PageRank, but a lot of people don't understand it. So I did my best to write a description, and this is what I'd call a definition article, if you're remembering back to my pillar article pieces. And I wrote a pillar article about PageRank and explained it, and I recommended what people do and don't do and how much the energy they put towards it. And that article was reasonably popular. And you can still find it in my archives if you're interested. But what happened is the author of 456 Berea Street posted a link to my PageRank article after I wrote it. And his blog was huge. I think his blog at that time was definitely bigger than Darren's was, ProBlogger. So this effect was even greater than getting a link from Darren's blog was. And as usual, I enjoyed not just the one link from the main blog. There was a spin-off effect. There's all the people who read 456 Berea Street decide to also link to my blog. And there was this ongoing network effect of traffic just you know, coming into my blog in waves. This is definitely a big communication channel. And a lot of those readers became regular readers in my blog. A lot of those people became word-of-mouth spreaders and told people about my blog. And as long as I maintained production of pillar articles, then I managed to capture a lot of that new audience. So there's a period when you get a wave of traffic where people will, you know, who'll be new to your blog will sort of test you. And they'll watch your blog, they'll enjoy the first article they came there for, because that's why they came there in the first place. But then they'll maybe subscribe to your RSS feed, and they'll monitor you to see what you do in your next few articles. And if those few articles also entertain them, they'll become regular readers. If you sort of maybe go a little bit towards a different topic to what the original article they came through was about, you risk losing those articles. So there's a technique right there in terms of growing traffic. Whenever you enjoy a big traffic source, a big communication channel opening and hitting your blog, make sure the next few following articles after you write them are at least somewhat related to the one that brought in all this traffic, because you don't want to turn away all this new audience by just suddenly jumping from one topic to a completely new topic. You want to have congruency with your topics, and really one pillar article that does well should be followed by lots of other pillar articles, because you have a better chance to capture as much of that traffic as you can long term. And that's what this is about. You don't want to just get hit by these large communication channels and then have the traffic be gone by the next week. We want to retain this audience so we can maximize it for our own benefit, both from a monetization point of view and a reach and networking and marketing purposes. So that's a really good point that I think a lot of bloggers don't necessarily do very well. It's keep that momentum going once you've done something successful. And that's a perfect case in point is just now with the release of Blog Mastermind. And as I'm doing this recording, with the release of the Blog Profits Blueprint. Now, the blueprint only came out a week ago as I'm doing this recording, and I'm still enjoying the runoff network effects of that. Blogs are still writing about it. It's dropping off. Obviously, the first few days after release, it's the biggest, and then each day it gets less and less and less until I do something again. And I will continue to do things like release an audio version of the Blog Profits Blueprint, which will be out by the time you're listening to this, but that will help to, again, increase a new influx of people to download the blueprint. But what I did also after releasing the blueprint is I realized that there's going to be a lot of new readers to my blog as a result of the blueprint's exposure. So plenty of people will read my blueprint and they've never heard of Entrepreneur's Journey. They'll never heard of me, Yaro Starek, and for the first time they'll come through and see who the guy is behind the blueprint. And I'll have literally a few days after they sign up to basically continue to impress them beyond what I did with the blueprint. So the articles after I wrote the blueprint will need to be very similar to the topics that are in the blueprint, and they'll have to be quality, and they'll have to be reasonably, you know, short periods of time between release. I can't go a week here without writing a new article, otherwise I'll just lose most of that new audience. So now I've already noticed an increase of about 0.5% in retained RSS subscriber count. So, you know, from about 3,900 to 4,100 as I record this audio, and I know that big chunk of that is from the new readers from the blueprint. So that's 200 new readers, and that's going to keep growing over the next few weeks. So what I did is I sat down and wrote, I have written one, and I've just released another one today, so that's two articles, excuse me, on topics very similar to making money from blogging, because that's what the blueprint's about. So I expanded on those topics. I wrote another article, one about how many what your post value worth, and then another one about buying blogs and buying other websites to reinvest the money you make from blogging. So that's two articles very interesting to people who would like the blueprint, and chances are you've read them already if you're listening to this call. But you can see the important thought process I went through there with the strategy behind the technique, because you have to realize that one event is not isolated. Everything is interconnected, and if you don't have a strategy behind your marketing efforts, you're essentially wasting a lot of what you do, because you won't capture the attention of people long term. And it has to be strategic. If it's not strategic, you just lack vision, you lack focus, you lack congruency, and you just won't have much success. You might enjoy traffic spikes, as I call them. You'll get a lot of people in short periods of time, but it'll be very much like a dig effect. You'll get them in a short period, and then they'll peer away, and you won't retain nearly any of them. So really, you know, as nice as it is to get hit by a large traffic spike, we're here for the retained readership, not for the one-day wonders. We want long-term traffic. So it's important to, A, capture whenever something significant happens as much of that traffic as you can, but B, also realize that long-term traffic is actually built on the foundation of multiple communication channels. So what you do is you build your way up using as many simple marketing methods as you can, like commenting, like trackbacks, like leaving comments in forums, like using blog carnivals, like going to other profiles in say Blog Catalog or My Blog Log. They're two communities, and you can just leave comments in other people's blog profile pages. All these things will bring in trickles of traffic, and they'll start to expand your exposure. Some people will start leaving comments, which will help your social proof, and then you'll start to tap into slightly larger sites, and maybe you'll get another blogger finally writing an article about your blog. They may not be huge, but there'll be someone, and they'll send a little bit of traffic, and that'll encourage you. And you'll go through this process, and it'll take time. And really, it's something that never stops as long as you're a professional blogger. If you want to keep growing your audience, to a certain degree, there's always a need to do marketing. And this is where my point that I made from the start comes into play. Because you can get into an endless cycle of always feeling a need to be doing more marketing, because there always is the potential to do more marketing. There is always more traffic to be captured, so you have to realize what your goals are and what you really want to achieve and how quickly you want to achieve these goals and work accordingly. But make sure you have a success point, like a point in the share market where you're actually willing to sell your stock. You know, you have to have a ceiling. If you don't have that ceiling, you can sit there forever and do things forever without realizing the purpose of the point or any sense of satisfaction. So that's a really important point to do with marketing. And I find, and this is a wonderful thing about blogging, the more success you build up, the longer you do this, the less difficulty you have with marketing. So in the early days, it's going to be the hardest. Most people listening to this call, you have to be prepared now, because you're about to hit the hardest period you're going to experience in your blog marketing lifetime. If you have a new blog and no one knows it yet, you have to get out there and tell people. So you have no reputation yet. You have no established contacts. You have very little content in your blog. You're starting with a clean slate, and you have to just go through the motions that we all do to get to the point where you have some contacts, where you have some incoming links and traffic coming through. And once you get there, things get a lot easier, because when you have 1,000 readers, or let's take my situation now, I have 4,000 daily readers as I record this. In that 4,000 daily readers, there's probably 100 readers or so. That's a completely arbitrary number. I don't know how many. I'd have to check every single reader I've got. But a small percentage, 1 or 2%, are probably A-list bloggers. These are guys and girls who have blogs of similar traffic levels to mine, and they read my blog. Most people who have successful blogs read other successful blogs. It's just part of the nature of our industry. We're all interested in what we're doing. So these bloggers will then, you know, you'll write something good, and they'll link to it, reference it in one of their articles on their blog. Maybe they'll email you about some sort of joint venture, or sharing content, or using your article in a PDF like Brian Clark did with mine. And you'll just get much easier access to the top people in your industry. But you have to work your way up there. And for some people, that can take months. For some people, that can take years. For some people, very, 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 very few people, it takes weeks. So the best thing I can tell you about marketing is to really do what you can now and be consistent with it, form habits around it, and then, you know, know that at some point in the very near future, you're going to slowly hit larger sources of traffic, celebrate those larger sources of traffic, and go back to producing the same effect as many times as you can to a certain point. And then, you know, it's okay. I don't do active marketing on a small scale anymore on a day-by-day basis. I still might leave comments because I want to leave comments in other blogs to interact in the community, but I don't do very much of it, and I certainly don't do any focused comment marketing or forum marketing or trackback marketing or blog carnival marketing, any of the things I'm telling you to do, because I know I have access to people, and all I have to do is write a really good article and people will link to it organically. It's not something I have to ask for. They just like my content, they want to recommend it to their friends and be spreading the word for me. That's a lovely position to be in, and that's what you're going for. Now, since most of you are at the beginning stages, I want to provide a reasonably concise step-by-step process that you should go through from the point that you press stop on this call, this recording, and go to work on your blog. This is what you need to do and the mentality you need to form for the rest of your blog marketing life. It's not final. You can obviously change things, but this is a general guide that you need to follow to have a successful blog. This is what I would do if I had a brand new blog launching in today's blogosphere. So this is not what I do given my situation, what it was 2.5 years ago, which was different to what the situation is today. So today you face you do face more competition, but it's not always fair to say that any period is more or less competitive than another because you can subdivide topic areas and find less competition. So it just means you have to be more focused and specific with the markets you tap into and the way you market things if you want to have equivalent success compared to 1 or 2 years ago, where it just wasn't as large a marketplace as it might be today. So today you're entering a marketplace with 70 million plus blogs, of which, you know, upteen of them are crap. The simple thing is most blogs out there are not very good. So provided you spend a little bit of time producing great content on a regular basis, you're already doing more than what the average blog does. Provided you have a focus and a vision and a purpose and a target market you want to satisfy and an idea of how you're going to satisfy that, and you stick to it and implement it, again, that's just so much more than what the average person is going to do. You're going to have an advantage. The fact that you're in Blog Mastermind now listening to this call means you have motivation. So that means you're a step ahead of the average person, the average blogger. So carry forward that momentum into the content you produce on your blog and the habits you form in marketing your blog. So to continue, my guide would be, so you have a new blog and you want to get it out there. So, like I wrote in the blueprint, form habits with the two most important things: writing pillar content, so that's the reason why people come to your blog, and then creating those baby step communication channels, those small communication channels. So make a habit at night, you're going to test at least one small traffic stream communication technique, and do it often enough. So one night you're going to spend half an hour writing 10 comments to 3 different blogs. So you're going to write 30 comments in one night. Maybe the next night you'll do the same, but in a specific forum or 3 different forums. You'll write 10 comments in 3 forums. I find it's better to do concentrated effort, so I'd pick 1 or 2 forums, one forum preferably, that you can then create a really good profile in, and write serious answers to things if you can. The more value you provide for people, the more you are rewarded in turn with people coming back to your blog. Whenever you're writing forum comments, or whenever you're writing blog comments. Do that, but this is something I want you to form a habit in, but I don't want you to be blind about it. This is a process of testing, so you know, after you've done a consistent blog comment marketing technique for, let's say, a month, you know, you've spent 30 days, and maybe 10 days out of those 30 days, you put out there 30 comments on 3 different blogs. See what your traffic increase was like. Did it work? Did you get good results? Did it work better than a forum commenting technique? Which one of those is better? Take the one that's better and go with that, and then try something else. So let's say the blog commenting method is working better than the forum commenting method is. So let's double our efforts of blog commenting and drop forum commenting, Or let's keep doing blog commenting, drop forum commenting, and start testing blog carnivals instead. So we'll start submitting to at least one blog carnival a week and seeing what kind of traffic we get from a blog carnival. Maybe try and get yourself into 9 rules, or you know, do some marketing through blogcatalog.com or myblogblog.com or even myspace.com or Facebook or any of these social media sites where there's a lot of people in there. You just have to spend time accessing enough of them to get good traffic rewards. So I do that on the, you know, for the first 3 months, at least the first 3 months, and you can't judge things until you've done significant testing. You need to test on for more than a week, you know, more than a day, more than a week. Do it a month before you start making assumptions on what your results are. And if you're not producing pillar articles to go along with these marketing techniques, you can't make an accurate judgment on whether those marketing techniques work, because you have to have the pillar articles in place before any marketing techniques have a chance to actually even perform well. There's no point putting out comments if there's nothing to see on your blog yet. So this is a sequence, and it's a process, and it has to be congruent. Every step has to be strategic so that the outcome you get, at least whether, you know, you find out whether it works or doesn't work. And there's a clear conclusion, because you've got the content in place, you put out the marketing, this is the result you got. This is the result you got for something else. Is A better than B? Yes, let's do more of A. You know, that's the strategic and tactical process linked together, and how you reach conclusions over what methods are better than others. So, you know, once you get to a point where you've really tested all the different marketing techniques at a lower level, you should know what works best for your blog. That doesn't mean you can't always be testing new methods, because there's always new opportunities and new tools coming out online. But in my situation, you know, if I'm happy with the amount of traffic I'm pulling from certain techniques, I'll just keep doing what's working. And if I'm enjoying the process of that marketing or that type of content I'm producing, you know, don't necessarily feel the need to always be testing something else if you're happy with the results you're getting from somewhere. So, you know, just because someone says you really should be getting into dig marketing, don't assume that that's necessarily right for your blog or necessary. If you're getting results that you're happy with, you know, sure, try dig if you want. If you get great results, keep using dig. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. Okay, guys, I've gone over 30 minutes, so I want to wrap this call up, but I hope you can see the major point I'm making here of having a strategy and a process to go through to getting communications open and building traffic to your blog and doing general marketing. For all of you who are, let's say, sick of comment marketing, and you know, you've tested to death all the small methods and you're just getting really poor results, and you're confident that you've got good content on your blog, then I recommend to you that you really go hard in some of the more larger traffic sources, the rivers, as I called them. And you know, this is where you might start consider approaching newspapers or magazines to actually get some PR going, or maybe purchase a press release distribution through some of the PR sites like PR Web. And you know, if your content's good and you can tap into a really, you know, social interest topic area where it's not necessarily being covered by anyone else, or you've got a unique hook to explain what you're doing, then you can really tap into large sources of traffic from day one without having to necessarily do commenting. You know, let's say a blog like, I think it was Guy Kawasaki, his blog came about a year ago now, maybe not even that long. And Guy's obviously a famous author and speaker, so he had an advantage in an existing celebrity status. But, you know, his blog, I'm pretty sure he did not spend a lot of time doing small communication channels. He was not there writing comments on hundreds of other blogs or writing in forums or doing trackbacks. He wrote tons of great content to start with, but he also leveraged his existing status as a minor celebrity or a celebrity in his topic area, his industry, for mainstream news coverage. And also, outside of that, to help the word of mouth grow, because obviously when someone like that comes along and starts adopting a technology like blogging, all the bloggers in the industry are happy to promote that, because it vindicates blogs as a great tool. So when you see someone, you know, look, Guy Kawasaki's blogging, this is great, check out his blog, it's great, you get a natural word of mouth process. So, and that grew his blog to a top 100 blog very, very quickly. Now, you're not a celebrity. Well, chances are you're not a celebrity listening to this. Maybe you are a minor celebrity in your industry. But even if you're not, you've got access to the same resources that Guy does. You just have to tap into unique stories and powerful communication channels in order to get really quick results, really powerful results really quickly. And that means, you know, getting dug as many times as you can, getting Delicious, getting into the popular page on Delicious, you know, getting all the social media sites like Netscape and Reddit, and getting them to link to your stories and getting to the most popular pages on those sites. And you know, that's something that's not a science, and you have to keep trying and seeing what works and try to tap into topics that the users of these sites want to use. Tony Hung, there's a bonus call with Tony Hung about using social media, in particular Dig, so you can have a listen to his recommendations in that call for helping you tap into the big traffic sources that are available from social media sites. In my opinion, if you were to ask me, if I wanted to personally get a new site going, a new blog going, and do it quickly and get lots of traffic quickly, and I didn't have my existing resources, so I didn't have my newsletter, I didn't have my blog, I didn't have you know, any cash to buy significant sources of traffic, I would make the most, I'd spend most of my time in building relationships with the type of people who I know will be interested in what I'm producing. So I would go and pinpoint the bloggers who I need to know and just get to know them, not necessarily with anything in mind about asking for something, just forming the relationship, and then when I do produce something worthy of their attention, just showing it to them and see if they'd like to promote it. So, you know, perfect example is the Blog Profits Blueprint. If I launch the Blog Profits Blueprint without any blog already in place, and actually even it's still very relevant even though I have a blog in place, I obviously want the Blog Profits Blueprint to go far and as wide as possible. So I'm not just relying on one link from Darren Rouse's Pro Blogger site and my own site as the only traffic sources. That's fantastic. Those two sources have helped the Blog Profits Blueprint spread to 2,500 people, which is a great start. But you know, I'm also tapping into every single person I know I've ever made a relationship with over the years, or even who I'm just discovering for the first time. I'm having my team and myself, we're going around the blogosphere and finding all the blogs who are writing about topics that are related to what the Blog Profit Blueprints is about, and trying to get them to consider mentioning the Blog Profits Blueprint, at least reading it. So I'm not going out to them and saying, hey, will you please promote the Blog Profits Blueprint? I'm going, hey, check out this great report. I think you'll find it valuable, given you also write about how to make money online, or how to blog, or blogging tips, or internet marketing, or internet business. So I'm just giving them a resource, and obviously the resource is of high quality, so if they've got some time spare, there's a good chance that they'll read it and then see that it is valuable and help me to spread the word. So, you know, again, you're leveraging the power of a remarkable resource you have, something that's in particular very good quality, but also you're taking a proactive step to form these relationships and tap into the large communication sources. Okay, I'm going to end the call before it gets too long. I hope you enjoyed this one about marketing, and really the most important thing now is that you actually stop and do something today or tonight or in the next 15 minutes, the next hour, to, if you haven't got content, write the content, but if we're talking about marketing, to actually start doing something so you can see what rewards you with traffic. You need to find out what methods work for you. And that's not just in terms of the type of blog you're writing, it's also the type of personality you have. So for you introverts out there, you might have trouble with the whole relationship building process, but it's something worth getting comfortable with because it can reward you significantly. For people who are writing about tech topics, you've got a great opportunity in those social networking sites like Dig because they love tech topics. So you can tap into something there. All right. I'll end the call there. This is Yarrow Stark, and we'll move on to the next audio coming up. Thanks for listening to this one. Catch you later.